Welcome to the Great Loop Radio podcast, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. I'm Kim Russo. I'm the director of AGLCA. Today we are celebrating AGLCA's 25th anniversary. We started in August of 1999. So as we go into this holiday weekend, we just wanted to take a moment and celebrate AGLCA. So that's the topic today. Karen Nettles from the Homeport crew will be joining me. Before we jump in, I want to take a moment to recognize and thank our Admiral sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Great Loop Yacht Sales, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, and Waterway Guide Media. As always, we encourage our listeners and viewers to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. And with that out of the way, I want to officially welcome Karen Nettles back to the podcast. Karen, thanks for joining me again.
Oh, glad to be here. We have something to certainly celebrate with a quarter of a century behind us at AGLCA.
Absolutely. And you're going to kind of help us bring out some details about AGLCA, how it started, where it has been, where it is now. So go ahead. Where'd you like to start?
Obviously Ron and Eva Staub's book, Honey, Let's Get a Boat, kind of was a launching pad for AGLCA. So can you tell us a little about their story and how that evolved into AGLCA?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the Staubs did the loop in, I think, slightly before 1999. Ron had been a travel writer, and he and Eva wrote a book about their Great Loop adventure. So the book is Honey, Let's Get a Boat. And in that title, it is actually Eva speaking. It was her idea to get a boat. And the book really covers their journey from how they found out about the Great Loop and decided to do it, how they got the boat ready, and how they took off from there. And, you know, it's kind of the book that started the modern era, if you will, of the Great Loop. The Great Loop has been done. The earliest account is probably from the very late 1800s, early 1900s. So the Staubs were certainly not the first to do the Great Loop. But as I said, they kind of popularized it in today's modern era. So as a travel writer, you know, they did a great job telling the story of the loop while providing really good information about the loop. And just kind of think about what it would have been like to cruise the Great Loop in 1999, 25 years ago versus today. Look at how much technology has changed aboard the boats, how much easier it is to get navigation information, to communicate with other boats, and to communicate with your friends and family behind. So the actual cruising of the Great Loop has changed, but the adventure of it and the journey of it and the accomplishment of it hasn't. So they actually started the association, my understanding is, they were at a boat show and had a booth to publicize the book and just put a little sign-up sheet out for people who might want to stay in touch and share details about the journey. And that eventually evolved into what today is AGLCA.
Yeah, we can say, like I said, 25 years later. So as we delve into this a little more and talk about the evolution of AGLCA, it'd be good if you could do a comparison of then and now. So let's start with some membership numbers. Can you tell us, you know, how many members they had in that charter members they had in 1999 and how that compares to our membership today?
Yeah, well, it was interesting to go back and try and look at some of those numbers for 25 years ago. But from what I can tell from the data that we have, it looks like they finished out their first year back in 1999 with about 250 members. Today, we've got 6,000 active members, so grown a lot in the space of that 25 years for sure. I can also tell you our member numbers are assigned sequentially. So Ron and Eva are member number one. We are now assigning members numbers in the 34,000s. So over the course of that 25 years, there have been 34,000 plus members of AGLCA, which is tremendous.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of members that have come and gone, can you tell us what membership entailed back in 1999 and how that differs from what our membership benefits include today?
Yeah. And as I said, it kind of started off somewhat organically where it was just a sign-up list of people who wanted to stay involved. That eventually became the Great Loop Link, which is still our e-newsletter. It's kind of evolved to more of an e-magazine type thing. But still today, we provide that Great Loop Link newsletter. It's now monthly. I believe when it started off, it was bi-monthly. And then, you know, the first rendezvous came along not too long after. I believe that there was another industry event that was canceled. And a bunch of loopers got together anyway at the site where the event was canceled and kind of held their own rendezvous. So it took off from there in terms of get-togethers, which from the start were called rendezvous. But if anybody's super interested in the history and how things evolved and what the initial member benefits were, we've got the archives of the Great Loop Link on our website going all the way back to 1999. So you can actually kind of trace the evolution of the association through what you'll find as a member on the greatloop.org website. So lots of interesting details there. The sponsor program evolved slowly from there. It didn't start off right off the bat, but Julie Shea, our member services coordinator, has actually been looking at some of those back issues for an article she's writing for this month's or for the September Great Loop Link that'll come out in a few days. And she's found some interesting tidbits there, like articles about marinas that are now sponsors. Initially, the sponsor program didn't exist, but a few years after the organization started, the sponsor program was born, and some of those reviews and things of sponsors converted into actual members of the association, these businesses that became members.
Okay, so we can see that they are a big part of AGLTA, our sponsors for sure. And you did allude to the rendezvous, the kind of first event that Ron and Eva had. So can you tell us a little about the rendezvous back in the early days and how that compares to the rendezvous and other events that we have today?
Yeah, I think the rendezvous initially were a little bit more casual, even though our events are very casual. But the rendezvous were more designed for people currently out there on the water, smaller events. I think the first had maybe 10 boats. So the looper crawls were mostly about visiting each other on the boats. Now they've evolved to there's lots of boats on the looper crawls, and there's lots of people who are using that as an opportunity to figure out what boat they might want for the Great Loop. They definitely started out pretty much just as what we call our route briefings today. So it was people sharing information about how to get from point A to point B, different segments and different legs of the Great Loop. I would say probably around 2014 or so maybe about 10 years ago, we added the second track, which today is Looping 101. And that drew in more people who were still in the planning phases to both get some of that educational content from the Looping 101 track, even though they weren't on the loop yet, but also for those looper crawls, for those who don't know what kind of a boat they are searching for the Great Loop, gives them an opportunity to board a lot. And of course, the first rendezvous had, I don't know the number of attendees, but I'm told somewhere around 20 or 30. Today, when we're in a facility that doesn't, where we don't have to max out, we usually have about 325 to 350 people. It's interesting. Here, I'm here in Charleston, South Carolina, on the boat, which is my hometown. And last night, I joined some of our members who were passing through at the Charleston Yacht Club, which is right next to the mega dock at the Safe Harbor Charleston City Marina. And I had forgotten, but somewhere around 2007 or 2008, we had a spring rendezvous right there at that facility. And to look around there last night and think, gosh, we would never fit into this space today. So it's evolved a lot in the number of people we have. And that certainly has presented some changes and some challenges to where we can hold them because we are now looking for much bigger facilities than we used to do.
Yeah, and there are certainly popular events. And one of the other popular things we do is to recognize wake crossing. So can you tell us for loop completions, can you tell us how many stats on people in the early days, and when did they start recognizing loop completions?
Yeah, so again, trying to go back through some old data. The organization was founded, as I said, in August of 1999. So I took a look at the loop completions reported for 2000. We've got some recorded, reported as early as the 1980s, because once people join and they said, oh, well, we did it 10 years ago, whatever it was. But I started at 2000 since that was the first full year of AGLCA, and there were 17 reported wake crossings. Fast forward to 2023, which is obviously the last full year that we've got stats for, and we had 249 wake crossings. So obviously a huge increase in that. I also took a look at this year, January through August, compared to January through August of last year. Last year, as I said, 249, that was a record year. This year, we are tracking slightly behind that. Last year, from January through August, we had 154 reported loop completions. This year so far, we have 120. So, if you extrapolate that out, we might be 50 less than last year. However, at the end of the year, we always have a push to try and make sure everyone who's completed the loop reports it to us so we can get some accurate stats. And PassageMaker has been printing in their magazine a list of the boats that cross their wake each year. So we tend to get a group at the end of the year that may be finished earlier in the year. So we may still catch up, but right now it's looking like we'll trail behind last year, and 2023 may remain the record peak year, but we'll see what happens at the end of this year.
Still a popular trip for sure. AGLCA transitioned from being run by Ron and Eva Staub to Steve and Janice Cromer in 2006. So, can you tell us how that came about?
I definitely can, but if you don't mind, let's take a quick break because that's a little bit of a longer question. So let's go ahead and take our break, play a message from a sponsor, and when we come back, we'll kind of dive into how AGLCA transitioned from being run by its founders over to Janice and Steve. So we'll be back in a moment. Looking for dock space? Meet DockShare, the leader in private dock rentals and commonly referred to as the Airbnb for docks. DockShare connects boaters with property owners renting out their unused dock space. Whether you need short-term dockage or a long-term slip, DockShare has you covered. With over 90% of listings within 10 miles of the Great Loop, you'll find serene alternatives to crowded marinas, even in regions lacking public docks. It's easy. Search, message hosts, and book, all in one place. Visit DockShare.app today and discover your next docking destination.
Our friends at DockMate offer the world's most advanced, affordable, and safest wireless remote control system for your boat's engines, pods, thrusters, anchor, and horn. Once you activate the DockMate remote control with a simple push of a button, you are able to leave the helm where visibility is oftentimes limited, and then confidently and safely control your boat's movement from anywhere aboard. The result is less stress and a safer experience during typical docking maneuvers, particularly in tight marina slips and when navigating through locks, where potential damage might only be a matter of feet or just inches away. Learn more at dockmate.us.
We're back on the Great Loop Radio podcast. Today, we are wishing AGLCA a happy 25th anniversary. We were founded in August of 1999 by Ron and Eva Staub. So we've made it for 25 years, hoping to make it for 25 more. Signs are looking pretty good so far. Karen, so why don't you pick us up where we left off? We were just kind of talking about how the organization transitioned from its original founders.
Back in 2006, so I just wanted you to give us a little input how that transitioned from Ron and Eva Staub to Janice and Steve Cromer.
Yeah, and that's kind of a little bit of a longer story, which is why I wanted to hold it till after the break. But the organization was growing tremendously under the Staubs. It was becoming a little bit more than the two of them wanted to handle on a day-to-day basis. So they approached Steve and Janice Cromer about taking it over. Steve and Janice happened to be my parents. And the Staubs, they were active members in the association. Steve was doing a few kind of volunteer leadership type roles, handling the daily email and things like that. And the Staubs were in Charleston. They came to visit Janice and Steve, and a discussion ensued about the future of AGLCA. And Janice and Steve were game for taking it under their wing and kind of ushering it to the next generation. That's when I first became involved. Initially, I was just managing the sponsor program. And then, as Janice, who, as I mentioned, is my mom, was moving more towards retirement, it became my full-time daily job. And I'm so fortunate to be doing this because I work with the greatest people, both our staff and our members and our sponsors. And it's just a pleasure to do this. So that's kind of how I got involved. I've been attending Rendezvous since around 2007. So many of them at this point. So lots of experience. And it took me, from that first interest. My parents had been talking about doing the Great Loop for a long time. And quite frankly, I did not understand it. I couldn't understand why dad wanted to get on the boat and go away for a year when he had my sister and myself and our children, their grandchildren here. And when the Staubs came as part of that transition and showed us their pictures of the Great Loop, I immediately got it. I saw pictures of their boat at the Statue of Liberty, and I saw pictures in beautiful rural settings in the mountains of the Hudson River and the isolated coves of Georgian Bay. And seeing those pictures really made me understand. And, you know, as most of you know, the stars finally aligned and I finished my Great Loop earlier this year. So it took me that long after getting the bug, but finally finished it.
Well, you had plenty of knowledge behind your belt when you got out there, you know,
It was kind
having
of book
run it.
knowledge. I mean, I had been a boater for a long time and had done
Had to
little
get hand.
portions of the route, but it was nice to get the actual practical experience to go with the quote unquote book knowledge of it for sure.
Go hand in hand. So you mentioned, you know, there were a lot of changes that have gone on over the years, and you've kind of alluded to some of that. And we know a lot was due in large part to the transition to the Cromers. So can you tell us some of the changes and enhancements the Cromers, your parents, brought to AGLCA as well as yourself?
Yeah, well, the Cromers had been running a family business for a long time. So one of the things that they brought to it was the business back end of it that enabled it to grow and could handle a little bit more than Ron and Eva could handle themselves. So things like accounting and IT, there were people to handle that once the transition happened. You know, the early 2000s were also the time where the internet was continuing to explode, where cellular coverage was exploding. So that was, you know, kind of a game changer on the Great Loop. When the Cromers first took it over, there was, you know, to join AGLCA, you had to print a form from the website and send in a check. So moving that forward a little bit more into digitizing things and creating the ability to join online, you know, building a website that had a robust member database behind it and was designed for memberships, is kind of what was able to prepare it for the next phases. And that's, you know, the benefits change somewhat, a lot more digital things, a lot more information on the website. We actually, I like to say my dad is always like ahead of his time on some of these ideas. A lot of loopers really love Nebo right now that lets you know where other loopers are. We actually had a version of that around 2010, I would say. It was called the Looper Locator. Essentially did the same thing, but not as robustly as it can be done today. So it was a little bit more challenging. The technology was a little bit glitchier. On a lot of devices, you couldn't share your location at that time. So if you wanted people to see where you had stopped for the night, you would have to type in your coordinates. So just the way the technology has changed in the 15 year or so years since then, you know, Nebo came along. That's kind of a game changer. But, you know, that's just to say we've been trying technologically different and advanced things since Steve and Janice took over. And, you know, the membership benefits, particularly because there's more and more history behind it and all of that is archived on the website, there's just a plethora of information available on our website at this point.
Yeah, so anybody can find pretty much anything there. Like I said, a lot of things have changed over the 25 years, but what does remain the same regarding AGLCA and its members?
Oh gosh, it's definitely that looper camaraderie and spirit. You know, even though it is becoming a little bit more common, and I shouldn't use the word common, there are more Great Loop completions per year now than there were 25 years ago. But it is still a really remarkable accomplishment to complete the Great Loop. And it's, you know, it's this pleasure for AGLCA to get to help people fulfill that bucket list or that lifetime dream to do the Great Loop. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago, for a completely different reason, Jennifer Garner, the actress, her mother was on the Today Show, and her parents did the loop, maybe 7 to 10 years ago, and they kind of introduced her mother and said that she had visited all seven continents. And the thing that her mother wanted to talk about was that she had done the Great Loop, and she went into some details about the Great Loop, and I was just so enamored by that because she had visited seven continents. And the thing that, you know, stuck in her mind that she wanted to tell Hoda about was the Great Loop. And that's just phenomenal. It's amazing to be able to be a part of something like that. That is just a game changer and a life's mission and a life's accomplishment for people. And that remains for members. That camaraderie is still there, and that boaters helping boaters and loopers cheering each other on. You know, still today, most people come back. If we ask them what the best part of the loop was, they still say the people that they met along the way. And I think I've shared this before, but I've had more than one, and I think I'm on four or five loopers come back and use like the exact phrase that the Great Loop restored their faith in humanity. And I think that's just so cool because it's the kind of trip where you're out there and, you know, people who are used to having easy access to everything find out that they need to ask people for help and that that help is also readily available. So in a time and space where, you know, people like to argue and it seems like there's an every man for himself kind of mentality out there, it's just so refreshing and affirming to find when you're on the loop, both other boaters and the people in the small towns and the big cities are willing to help. And that's something that is clear in the Stobbs book. And it's also clear in today's loopers. So it's something that most people just find, they just love about it.
Right. But what do you think is the interest that makes the Great Loop, you know, continue to grow, the interest in the Great Loop? Obviously, when people get out there and they experience the looper camaraderie and everything, but what's the big draw to begin with, do you think?
You know, I think the big draw is the lifestyle and the phenomenal things you'll see. But I really think the kind of high level of growth we've seen in recent years is largely coming from social media. Because if you think back to 1999, if you were sharing this journey with others, if you had a blog in 1999, you were an early adopter for that. So most likely, if you were sharing this with people at home, you were probably sending emails, perhaps with some pictures attached. Although again, you would have probably been an early adopter on digital photography at that point. So back in the day, it was pretty common that only your closest friends and family knew what you were doing, and many of them would not be getting regular updates. Fast forward to today, where a lot of loopers have multiple social media channels, but a lot of them are on YouTube and are posting videos on a regular basis. A lot of them are on Facebook and Instagram and posting the phenomenal pictures and everything that you'll see. This is the kind of thing that people tend to share on social media. As I said, it was the pictures initially that kind of sold me on it and made me understand what this was all about. So instead of sharing this with a couple of friends and family back home or your very close boating circle, people are sharing it, you know, with thousands. And I think that is a lot of what has led to the explosive growth we've seen in interest for the Great Loop. I think also, you know, people tend to be retiring younger. And people are really looking for that sense of community and that sense of adventure, and that the loop brings both of those.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Speaking of the future and the growth and everything, as AGLCA's director, mm-hmm. what do you see for AGLCA's future within the next 5 years and then also within the next 25 years?
It's such a tough question because I don't really see myself as, you know, a visionary. Looking into 5 years in the future is tough, looking 25 years even harder. But I can tell you what AGLCA is looking in the next few years, you know, 2 to 5 years, continuing to improve our app, which was recently released, to really kind of make it the one-stop shop for Great Loop information. And that follows through to our website too, but kind of making that information more accessible and easy to get to, because we know there's so much that has been accumulated in our resource library over 25 years that we want to put it at your fingertips where and when you need it. So if you are getting to Canada, we'd like to make sure that you already know what you need to know to cross the border and what's going to happen in Canada and what the waterways in Canada are like, that sort of thing. So right time, right place on the information. We also think, you know, the next 5 years are pretty critical to our advocacy efforts and to making sure that we work to keep the Great Loop waterways open and passable and safe for cruising. So whether that is pushing back on anchoring restrictions that seem to be becoming prevalent again, particularly in Florida, or if that is working to find solutions to invasive species that don't cut off the waterways, those are going to be the things that we're going to continue to advocate for. And that seems to be somewhat cyclical in, you know, when we start to see these things come up. But there are some waterways that are absolutely critical to the Great Loop. The New York State canals are, of course, required, regardless of which of the New York State canals you use. If they were to be closed, you'd have to go all the way up northward past New England and into Canada and down the St. Lawrence River. Really tough to do that in one summer season. It would be a game changer for the loop. And you know, the good news is the Erie Canal is committed to keeping it open to through navigation, but I've been participating in focus groups and things like that as the state of New York and the New York Power Authority, which is responsible for the canal, work through reimagining the canals. And that's been an interesting process that continues and is coming front and center again. There's a World Canals Conference on the Erie Canal. I believe it's in 2025, maybe 2026. But they're prepping everything for that. And it's great that they're highlighting the importance of that waterway for boaters even today, even when it's no longer a commercial waterway. So those are a couple of the things I see kind of being big in the next 5 years. 25 years, like I said, that's if we look at where we've come from 1999 to today and how much boating itself has changed and how much the organization has changed, it's hard to even fathom what could be out there in 25 years that we don't even know today might exist then. I certainly think there will be a lot more alternatively powered boats. The boating industry is several years behind the car industry on that. And it's not only, you know, a matter of the boat itself, but if we were to go electric boat type, then you've got the charging issues at the docks. So we've got a ways to catch up with that. And because of that, I'd say it's more than 5 years out, more in the, you know, 5 to 25 years before we really start to see that change. But we've got some boats out there doing it now, totally electric or totally solar, you know, kind of paving the way for those types of changes. But we'll continue to see changes in boat designs. You know, if you think about it, the boats that are out there right now on the Great Loop will almost all be aged out before 25 years from now comes. So it's hard to fathom what the Looper fleet might look like 25 years from now. Hope I'm around to see it because it will be super interesting. And then the other thing I think we've really got to start to focus on within the next 5 years is we've seen a lot of lot closures for maintenance, and that is certainly our preference over an unscheduled closure because something has gone wrong at a lock. But the locks and the infrastructure there are not getting any younger. So I think we have to expect, and I hope we can expect, more maintenance to avoid failures, because the unexpected failures are the ones that are much harder to plan around for the Great Loop. And, you know, there have been a couple of them in the recent years that have closed waterways for a period of time unexpectedly. And as I said, that is much harder to deal with than the expected closure. So I think we have to continue to learn to be flexible when there is a closure announced and be thankful that they are announcing it and planning it, but also continue to work to make those types of closures easier for loopers to deal with by making sure that they have a safe harbor while it's happening, to make sure that they know that what's happening and that they can plan around it. But in the next 25 years, I would expect a lot of the lock and dam infrastructure to require some additional maintenance. And I think that kind of goes without saying, but in terms of what might affect the Great Loop and loopers, that's certainly a big one.
Well, yeah, we certainly need to watch that year in and year out for sure. I think, you know, we've kind of recapped the last 25 years as in the brief few minutes that we have, but I think we know that there's going to be 25 more and beyond for AGLCA, and then we owe a debt of gratitude to the Staubs and the Cromers, as well as yourself, you know, for leading the charge and running the association. And like I said, it's just continued to grow and be more popular. And I'm sure that, you know, we'll have many more members come through and help them complete their dreams. And like I said, for many more years to come.
Yep. I agree with you. Debt of gratitude. The Staubs were certainly visionary in what they created, and it was somewhat unintentional, but I think they saw the potential here and just to give the gift of paying it forward to others. And that's really the spirit of AGLCA. So definitely thanks to them and thanks to Janice and Steve. We've also are very fortunate as a recreational association to be able to have a full-time staff. So thanks to Karen and Julie and Joanne who keep this running day in and day out. And also thanks to all of our members and all of our sponsors, because AGLCA would not have made it 25 years without such a dedicated group of supporters. So thank you, everyone. We'll look forward to 25 more. Thank you, Karen. Appreciate you being here.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to everyone who's watched or listened to this week. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Great Loop Radio podcast. Until then, safe cruising.